Hello and welcome back to episode 6 of Panels Full of Hunks. My name is Chris. We're talking about issue 6 of the 2025 Supernatural comic book. Pretty easy to follow. Each issue gets its own episode. Get it together, Chris. You just started recording. So if you are listening to this on the main podcast feed, you can listen to this about a month early on our Patreon. And otherwise, you're already listening on Patreon, and I'll save you the spiel. You don't need it. Let's get into it. Let's just dive right in. We got another great looking cover. This one again by Clayton Crane, and we see the ghost car that we have. We spent a lot of time with in this series so far. We see the ghost car with Dean standing in front of it, Sam kind of sitting in front of it, and beneath the ghost car is a giant creature with some sort of horned monster squashed beneath this ghost car with green blood everywhere. It's a very cool looking effect. I'm a little disappointed that they did not fight this creature. This episode looks like a damn Balrog, but otherwise, another really cool cover. And yeah, let's dive further into this. So, well, first we got to get our cold open. It wouldn't be Supernatural without our cold open. So our cold open takes place 10 years ago in Pittsburgh. We see a young girl. She's fixing up a car after what we learn is months and months of hard work. She was going to sell this car, but after all that effort she's put in, she really just wants to keep the car for herself. And I love the coloring on these pages because we've got these like sunset colors, I guess. And it gives it this perfect feeling of like a summer evening from your memory, which is a lot of like work, or I mean, obviously all art is work, but it's this really specific nice touch added to what really amounts to like what, 2 pages? Like, it's not a whole lot of page time for this flashback, but they really do it justice. And unfortunately, just as this young girl is kind of, in you know, taking pride in her accomplishment and her father's coming over to congratulate her, she's killed by a car coming in out of nowhere and crashing into her as she sits in her driveway, and just like a total brutal, awful accident. And her father is forced to just sit there and watch helplessly as he loses his daughter. We're starting off with a real gut punch on this one. And then we come 10 years back into the present. We catch up with the boys right where they left off. They're still in Texas, still escaping that ghost town that they were just in, where, if you'll remember, they were basically on trial with a ghost judge to be sent to hell in place of Steph Windler, who has this, you know, demon deal with the imp that she's trying to get out of. She was trying to send Sam and Dean to hell in her place. Things didn't quite work out. The boys shot each other to prove that they didn't have innocent souls. It was a whole thing. But they were able to escape, and now they're on the run. But unfortunately, Sam shot Dean in the leg during all of this. So Dean's limping. He's hurting. He's not feeling too great. Dean jokes that this is actually all a positive development for Sam, though, even though, you know, they had to shoot each other. Dean just grazed Sam's shoulder with his shot. He was thinking smart. Sam, unfortunately, went too real with it. But Dean's like, you know what? This is actually positive development because for once, you're not trying to go to hell. You're not actively making attempts to go to hell to find answers about what killed Jess, what killed Mom. So this Dean sees this as a positive improvement for Sammy here. They get back out of, you know, they're running through, I guess, like the wilderness here, and they eventually find the ghost car again. The ghost car that they thought was destroyed by those ghost riders a little while ago. No, it turns out ghost car is still chilling and it's waiting there for them. Dean is grateful that the ghost car has helped them thus far, but he still doesn't trust it. In case you missed it, it's a ghost car. And Dean does not particularly have a lot of fondness for ghosts. So this was not it for him. And he says, okay, well, I think, you know, I do appreciate that this thing helped us, but it's a ghost and we have to burn this car. It's time for us to like move on and deal with this problem. And they start to unload all of their stuff out of the trunk, you know, all their supplies, all their weapons, including a goddamn longsword, broadsword. I don't know. I know I'm supposed to be the sword guy, but like, I'm just a geek who likes fantasy. I don't actually know everything about real life swords, but Dean's just got a fucking sword. He's got a goddamn sword in his hand, and he's just casually hoisting that over his shoulder. No big deal. I want Dean to be using that sucker. But they unload the car and then it immediately drives away. It just runs away from them. They're like, okay, well, I guess we were talking about burning it, so that kind of makes sense. And as they're like, okay, well, what else are we going to do? We'll just walk down the road. No other choice. And as they do, who pulls up besides them honking their horn but Steph damn Windler? She's like, oh, hey, guys, it's me. And they're like, Steph, what the hell are you doing here? We just saw you get pulled into hell last issue. What's up with that? She's like, oh, guys, call me Effie. I believe that's what she had them call her in the first issue when she originally, like, roped them into all of this and tried to, like, you know, play onto their nice side. And, yeah, she's playing nice again here. She's like, oh, well, when I had your dad's diary, I read all the rules in there. I was reading stuff in the, you know, about demon deals and learning about hell and all that. And I found that there's actually, there's a little bit of a loophole here. They can't take me to hell. Like, my soul doesn't belong to them until I die. So even though I just got pulled down there, I was alive. So technically, you know, they can't have me yet. So I got spit back out. And she's like, you guys can totally have dad's diary back. She's now calling it dad's diary too. She's just very, you know, she's quick with it. She's calling it dad's diary. She's like, you guys can have it back, but I actually don't have it on me right now. Like, I totally would give it back to you right now, but I actually just don't have it with me. But I do know who does have it. And the boys are like, oh, brother, this guy stinks. But, okay, sure, so who has it? And she's like, no, don't worry about it. Just get in the car, come along with me. Well, you know, we'll talk as we go. And, I mean, what other choice do the boys even have here? Dean's bleeding out from the leg, so this is a serious situation. Thankfully, she just takes them to the hospital. She has, you know, untold wealth, so she just has, like, a backroom deal with a doctor going on. You know, don't ask any questions. They bring the boys in to get patched up. The doctor is asking if the boys need, like, psychological counseling, because getting shot is not just physically painful, but also quite traumatic. And Dean's like, I'm fine. Sam's like, you're definitely not fine, but okay, that's fine. Sure, whatever. But yeah, the boys get all patched up. They're ready to move on with whatever comes next. Steph explains, or Effie, I guess we'll call her Effie. Effie explains that she gave the diary to her dad's diary, to be clear. We're talking about dad's diary here, not just her diary. She gave dad's diary to her head lackey. And Dean jokes, you just call them lackeys to their face? And she's like, no, I call him Richard to his face. But right now, I call him traitor because I gave him dad's diary. And the first thing that he did was bring it to my father, Stefan Windler. And Steph's father, I guess that's why we're calling her Effie, so we're not getting confused with Steph and Stefan. Effie's father, Stefan Windler, he took great interest in a comet symbol that he saw in dad's diary, or that Richard saw. Somebody saw the symbol. That same symbol that Sam saw in the book at the library, where, you know, he was flipping through that old book from over 100 years ago. He sees this symbol of a comet with a picture of somebody who looks suspiciously like Sam. Dean is like, yeah, that's not, it definitely wasn't Sam. It's just another floppy haired dude. But either way, they got to try to get this. They got to try to get dad's diary back. And Effie explains that her dad has Lyme disease. He hasn't been able to keep up with the job for the last 10 years. And so she kind of inherited the business from her father. But he has been very resentful of that fact. And it's very possible that he might be up to something, might be trying to do something magical, supernatural to get his strength back, to get his life back, I guess, to get his business back. So they're going to have to track down this Richard fella as he brings dad's diary to Steph's father. We're getting a little complicated here. Let's just keep moving. Thankfully, Effie has placed a tracker on Richard's car. So as she, you know, she's brings the boys to wherever her garage is, I guess, or she's got loads of cars for them to choose from. She's like, hey, just pick something fast. It'll be my gift to you when this is all said and done. And they're like, great. So you can just put a tracker on us too. Awesome. Yeah. But I mean, okay. They pick a fast car and they hit the road and they're following the tracker after Richard with Effie at their side. I mean, she's literally riding shotgun. So I guess that means Sam's sitting in the back seat. Sorry, Sammy. And she says her main goal in all of this is to find a loophole to get out of this imp deal. She's hoping that John's diary will actually have some sort of explanation, some sort of trick, some sort of loophole that she can exploit to not have to go to hell for her very foolish deal. And that's her main reason for wanting the diary back. But she does say, you know, I don't know what my dad's up to. I don't know if he's going to conjure up some, like, you know, he's going to awaken some unspeakable evil. That could also probably be bad, but I'm kind of more concerned about the soul thing. And she's just laid it all out. She's, all of her cards are on the table. Like, you know, this is once again a selfish reason for the things that she's doing. And it's, honestly, it's easier to work with her with the boys just knowing the truth. There's no, you know, charitable spirit here. She's just in it for herself, but at least they know her motivations. And I got to say, you know, it's been interesting having Steph Windler, Effie, be this recurring character throughout this comic run, because in the first issue, you know, she's just that random person. Especially in the first two seasons, the boys definitely helped out a lot of, like, damsels in distress. There'd be little will they, won't they moments. You know, Sam or Dean might get a little smooch here or there. It was a big part of the early show. And it, when they introduced Effie in the first issue of this, it seemed like it was just going to be that. Let, you know, and it turns out, whoa, she's actually become this integral part. Sometimes antagonist, sometimes she's there to help them out. It's been an interesting relationship they've had with her so far. So as they're driving down the highway, what do they see in the rearview mirror but the goddamn ghost car? It is chasing right after them. It's still, it's, she's like, what's going on here? How did you guys forget to mention that there's a ghost car chasing after you? And they're like, well, we usually have like 2-3 ghost demon things after us at any given time in our lives. So mentioning the ghost car thing kind of didn't really seem relevant. It didn't really seem related to our card thing. But for the sake of the mission that they're currently on, Sam like leans out the window and tries to shoot the tires out of the ghost car. I don't know if he succeeds or not, but either way, he is not able to stop the car from chasing after them. And this thing is right on their asses, right up until they end up reaching like a busier city center type of area where there's a crosswalk with kids crossing in front of it. And of course, Dean is going to come to a stop. He's not going to run children over. And to their surprise, the ghost car also slows down as to not endanger the kids. And they're like, okay, well, that was crazy. Let's pull over. Like, if it's willing to stop for children, then I think that we're like, okay, to like pull the car over and chill out for a second. Because this is the second time that the ghost car has done something helpful. This time it didn't hit kids that were crossing the street. And the first time they mention is when they were at the library, it just pulled up in front of like the handicapped parking space. And when they pointed that out, the car moved out of the way as to not inconvenience anyone who might need that parking space. So there is seemingly some positive goodwill behind this car, behind its actions. It's helped the boys out enough times. I would think that Dean would at least go a little easier on it instead of just threatening to burn it. And Effie is like, how the hell did you get this car to begin with? Like, is this not your normal car? And we get a little flashback and we realize, okay, maybe things were like a little bit too inconvenient. After the boys had kind of gotten caught up with some recent credit card fraud, they had to stash the car for a while, you know, for fear of having it taken or anything like that. So they stash the car. And just as they're like leaving this like storage place where they have the car, the Impala, that is, they see a used car shop, and they could either walk to the bus stop a mile away, or they could just take a look here. And Dean decides, hey, maybe we can just lift a used car from here. And what do you know? The ghost car was there. There was no plates on it, nothing that can be tracked, and the keys were in the ignition. It was like the car wanted to be stolen. And now they're thinking back on that, like, yep, okay, all right, that was a little too good to be true. That was maybe a little suspicious. Maybe we didn't really think that one through entirely. But as they're standing around having this discussion about their little flashback, one of the Windler goons shows up and he's just opening fire on them. We get into a firefight instantly. And without hesitation, Effie bails. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm not getting shot. Fuck that shit. The goon here, he says that he is just after Sam. That's all he's interested in, is capturing Sam. So clearly Sam being present in that picture in the library book next to that comet symbol has raised some suspicions. So I would wager a guess that it's her father, Stefan, who is after Sam because of his potential connection to this mysterious comet symbol. That's just me guessing, but they're only after Sam, and they all kind of try to like dodge out of the way as the firefight breaks out. Sam, I guess, has a crossbow. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. If anyone's reading, it looked like he had a crossbow. And he fires at this goon, hits him in the leg, but the guy has a wooden leg, so he's totally unaffected by this hit. And that's when, out of nowhere, the ghost car rolls up and just runs this dude over. It doesn't just hit him, it runs his whole ass over. And they are like, oh shit, like, that's pretty hardcore. It's one thing for it to fight ghost cowboys, but it's another thing for it to like run over a human man. I mean, you guys can't really complain. Beggars can't be choosers here. That guy was shooting at you. He was clearly intending to kill at least Deaton. So, you know, not great. And as the car kind of, you know, the car is rolled up, it's run this guy over, and then it stops and it pops the door open. And then we hear a radio report, seemingly a radio report from 10 years ago about the girl from the cold open. And we hear how, you know, this girl, she was the original owner of the car. Probably she's the ghost haunting it. That's just, you know, we as readers can put two and two together here. Her name was Jeannie Hernandez, and she was killed by a drunk driver, someone who had come directly from the brewery at the Windler Company, or the Winder Company Brewery. Clearly it was one of their employees. They refused to comment on the situation or whatever. So there is some connections here. So now this ghost car that has been an ever-present part of this series pretty much since episode one, or since issue one, we're finally getting some more information. I think it was pretty clear when we saw the cold open, or we read the cold open, that poor girl who was killed was connected to this car in some way. But yeah, now it turns out this girl seemingly seems to be haunting this. Seemingly seems, great, Chris. That's really, really interesting usage of words you've got going on there. It seems Jeannie here is haunting the old car, this old car, and she is out for revenge. And we don't have to wait long for that to be proven true, because as soon as the car gets Effie in her sights, she revs that engine and starts going straight after her. And it's to be continued with our final panel, which is a great full color page. I mean, it's all full color of Effie running away from this car as it goes after her. So she was killed by somebody from the Windler Company. We don't know. Could it have been Effie? I don't know how old she is. 10 years ago, was she a teenager? Was she in her 20s? You know, I don't know. So yeah, she's out for revenge against this company, and we will have to see what happens here. The ghost is clearly in the right here. You know, the ghost is out for righteous revenge, but in Supernatural, revenge is never really righteous, right? A vengeful spirit is only going to create destruction. Even if somebody happens to deserve what's coming to them, it's never really for the best in the end. So that's where we'll leave off for now. I'm excited that this series is still going. As I said last time, I totally thought that issue 5 was going to be the last one. It seems like we're going on for a while longer. You're probably, if you're listening to this on the main feed again, you're probably listening to about a month after it was originally released on the Patreon. So if you want them early, you can go check it out there. Check out the other shows I've got going on over there. And I don't like doing promotion. This feels icky, but I got to, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I also, if for anybody who hasn't heard this yet, there is now going to be a new Castiel comic book series. So that's pretty exciting. And I will definitely be covering that when it comes out. Very much looking forward to that. This Supernatural series has been a pleasant surprise. So I don't know if it's, I think it's a different creative team. Not totally sure. We'll get more info as that comes out. But still, totally looking forward to that. This has been a great read so far. I've had a lot of fun doing these, and very much looking forward to whatever they got cooking for Castiel. So until then, I will see you all next time. Bye, everybody.